Welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original intent has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is The Blades of Our Families by Noshi Noshi Gorilla.
8:31 now. Now that, well, the part of the thunderstorm that produced the well-defined funnel is what's moving over towards protection. So we're thinking less now. We're not as concerned about what's going on in the vicinity of Ashland.
Victor hadn't been there long. His fingers were cold, but that was only because he had forgotten his gloves. "Good thing I remembered my socks," he muttered, the wind scattering his words. Margaret chose that moment to slide up next to him.
"I forgot my socks," Margaret said shyly.
Victor was confused. He could clearly see her socks over the top of her boots, and she was wearing mittens. Was this what his older brother had told him about girls? Myron, his older brother, had been full of wisdom, now long forgotten. "Remember, Vic, sometimes girls lie about wearing socks." Useful to this situation, at least. "My brother told me that there would be girls like you," said Victor. Margaret blushed, but she didn't know what to say. "He also told me what to do," said Victor. He fumbled around his pocket for the object he brought that made this night worthwhile, that made these last 6 months seem okay. At length, he produced a small, ceremonial dagger.
"Oh my!"
Margaret gasped. Victor raised the dagger above his head, and the winter sun glinted off the cold steel.
"It's not as big as mine, but the handle is a bit more decorative,"
Margaret said, producing her own blade from underneath her parka. The sigil of her clan was etched into the blade, while the sigil of Victor's house displayed proudly on a jewel in the middle. Both styles represented their larger families. It came to this, a war in the streets. "I love you," Victor said, regretfully.
"I love you too," said Margaret. "But since I killed your brother, you've known this time would come too."
Victor nodded and took a Nilo Cantuvo stance. Margaret countered with the Uvo Uva cloud pose. They traded strikes skillfully, parrying and lashing out, a deadly dance. Victor wanted it to last forever, no outcome, but that was impossible. He closed his eyes and waited for the dance to end. A kiss touched his forehead, and steel touched his heart. The warm kiss and the cold metal engulfed him as his closed eyes remained shut forever. That was The Blades of Our Families by Noshi Noshi Gorilla. And now time for the part of the show where we bring on a special guest to talk about the story that we've just heard. Today we have Kate Cronin, a moving image archivist, another PhD student, as well as an inventor of miniature clocks. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. It's a new space. It's a new studio. We're out of Lexington, and this is the first show in Austin, Texas. So, what do you think about that? What do you think about this lovely space that we have here?
I think it is wonderful. Yeah. I think it's perfect, and I think that Austin is crying out for a podcast like this. So I
think that's true. You know, I feel like a lot of people are making podcasts in studios like we were. I feel like people are making podcasts... video casts in like elaborate sets and everything, but really very few people are making podcasts in about 10 square feet of closet space like we are right now, and I feel like that brings a certain charm to us.
I agree. I think it's a really unexplored physical space for podcasts, and there are ties and there are shoes and interesting shadows and striped shirts, and I think those are all things that really, you know, make for a good podcast. So, yeah.
Yeah, those are really interesting things for a podcast. I also think, I don't know if you could pick up on that since I'm wearing the headphones, but we also get a lot of stray noises going on because we are in, of course, a closet in an apartment building shared by many other people. I think a few stray animals as well. Maybe a few mutated hybrids between the two of those as well. I'm not entirely certain. I haven't met all my neighbors. These are all great things about the space, but I'm really interested to hear what you thought about the story, especially with your background in archival work as well as miniature clock construction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of things about the story that are some of my favorite things. Socks. Scottish clans. I don't know if the two characters' clans were Scottish, but that's what I think of when I hear clans. And assumptions about women. I love those.
Oh, yeah,
And metaphorical dance-offs with daggers and stabbing. Mm-hmm, and yeah, those are all things I really like. And I think as a miniature clock maker, I think one of the things that I thought was most compelling was really the way that time just kind of expanded in this story.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially since that's almost like the opposite of what you're doing when constructing miniature clocks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's some really great insight, actually. I would say I have my own question, not related to the story, actually, but about the miniature clocks. Do they keep time faster or smaller? How do they affect space-time, or are they just small clocks?
Yeah, they're built to scale, actually.
Oh, okay.
So they actually keep time a little bit faster. It's a good thing, you know, and I find them really useful. I'm one of these perpetually late people. So I like to use the miniature clocks because, you know, they keep me on my toes. I'm like, oh God, I don't know if it's this time.
Sure, yeah.
You know, or another time. And the other thing is, if I'm actually ever late to a place, it's a nice little hack because I can just pull out my clock and be like, oh yeah, well my clock says it's this time.
Oh.
I'm on time. I know, right?
Because you're keeping it in your, in a pocket of
Yeah, some sort. Of course, yeah.
That's interesting. I would ask, it seems a little unnecessary to make it so small when watches are actually already a fairly convenient size and keep time. They're on your wrist so most of the time, so you don't have to take them out of the pocket. It just seems, I don't mean to insult the work that you're doing, which is very fascinating and interesting, but I just wonder, is there much overlap with the watchmaking industry there? Or do you compete?
You know, Cameron, a lot of people have this concern, and I'm going to push back respectfully that clocks...
Well, please don't push too much. There's not a lot of room in
here. That's true. There isn't a lot of room in here. I will push back respectfully, though, against... I think that the lack of distinction that sometimes gets made between miniature clocks and watches is really unfortunate, and I actually find it... I think it's a disservice to those of us who are really invested in the manufacturing of miniature clocks and the artistry that goes into that, really.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, do you have an example of this artistry with you? Did you bring any miniature clocks?
No, I actually have, like, a little group of... I don't have any with me, but I have a group of small furry friends that help me in my workshop make these clocks. I'm not at liberty to disclose exactly form these small furry friends take.
Right.
But they work very long hours for the love of the craft, and people who compare them to...
Slaves.
Watches.
Oh, you mean the miniature clocks?
I mean the miniature clocks.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant
right.
the furry
slip
friends.
Slip of the tongue, yes. Yeah, I think it really denigrates their labor, and they work really hard, and I care very deeply for them. So.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they really appreciate all of that care as a form of profit.
Absolutely.
They probably don't expect any other money in any way for the... countless hours that you're suggesting that they work.
No, they do it for the love of it, and
okay.
I don't exploit that at all.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as long as you're not exploiting it, then...
No,
then
not in the slightest.
All right.
They don't even ask for food.
Oh, so, wow, that's, maybe that's why they're so little. So small, furry friends.
No, I think that's biological, and I don't like what you're insinuating.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Let's move away from that then, actually. You're also a moving image archivist, and perhaps you have some interesting things to say about the story, but I would like to know if, as an archivist, you think that this deserves to be in an archive.
I do. Thanks for asking, Cameron. I am a real advocate for stories that I think are reflective of their time, mm-hmm. as historical documents, but also as documents for the kinds of narrative that people were interested in at a mm-hmm. certain time and maybe why. And not to quote a certain TV show, but oh. I think that this story might whoever the author was, I think he or she might be the voice of his or her generation.
Oh, Noshi Noshi Gorilla, you believe.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not sure of their gender. Perhaps a gorilla-based gender. I don't know if gorillas recognize more genders than we do. Maybe I'll inquire about those and get back to you. But that's interesting to hear. I think that there's definitely something in this story that really should be preserved, as well as a lot of the other stories, despite the fact that they are all supposed to be terrible stories. I think there's something about that in and of itself that also deserves preservation.
I think so, absolutely. I mean, what one culture considered bad, another culture might consider a treasure.
True, yeah, yeah. I mean, as is often said, one man's left arm is my right arm when I'm looking at you the other way. No, wait. No, that's what I meant. So, what about a game? Would you be interested in playing a game?
I would love to play a game.
Okay, so typically on the show, we ask all of our guests to play this game where they have 5 minutes to write an epilogue or a sequel of some sort to the story we just heard, The Blades of Our Fathers by Noshi Noshi Gorilla. So if you're interested, we'll start the clock not a miniature one, unfortunately. I only have extra large size clogs.
Nobody's perfect.
Well, then, in that case, we will take our 5 minutes now.
For you.
Hey kids, and we're back. Wow, those 5 minutes, that was I just feel like it actually felt a lot like 5 minutes. You took a long time. Oh, it was long 5 minutes.
Bite me.
Oh, no thank you.
Okay, fair.
I actually think that I don't know if listeners at home, I'm not sure if you could hear that. If you turn the volume up very loud, you might be able to hear there are sirens in the background. I did call the authorities just in case this episode of the podcast goes like the deleted episode that some of you heard where we did have to murder the guest. But I don't think it will, Kate. Things seem to be going very well.
So. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, you have a story? You have something ready for us?
I do, yeah. I don't pretend that this story would be worthy of preservation in an archive, but I did my best, so.
Well, you know, you can't always get what you want. You can't always find what you need. You can't always write a story that is going to be funny enough for the very dedicated audience that is really expecting a lot out of you. You can't always find a good gyro, am I right? Like, sometimes you want a good gyro, and it's just, some towns don't have them, so.
Words to live by.
Well, I've got that tattooed underneath my knee, but,
smart.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I can't see it, granted, but,
You know it's there.
Yeah, that's true.
Other people know it's there, too.
Mm-hmm, people who have seen the inside of my knee.
Right.
Yeah, so. Well, let's hear your story.
Sure thing.
So, this is a sequel to
The Blades of Our Fathers.
The Blades of Our Fathers, yeah. By Noshi Noshi Gorilla. So.
Yes, Noshi Noshi. Okay. Here we go. Sleep evaded Margaret that night. She tossed and turned with the knowledge that she had plunged a dagger into the heart of the only mammal she had ever loved. And that kiss, the forehead kiss that should have been planted firmly, decisively, on Victor's lips, but wasn't, because Margaret was at that awkward age where girls grow faster than boys and was a full foot taller than him. She awoke in a cold sweat with the memory of the kiss and the kill in her mind, and the blood of Victor on her hands. "Tomorrow, I'll wear the green socks instead," she whispered. "Yes, the green socks." The end.
Oh, wow. That was chilling.
Yeah. She really regretted what she did. She had a lot of complex feelings about that.
Sure. I mean, this is a judgment call, but I'm not really sure she needed to regret it. Victor was kind of, pardon my French, but he was kind of mean.
How?
Well, you know, I just got the sense that he really didn't need to draw the dagger when Margaret said that she didn't have any socks. Like maybe what he saw over the top of her boot was actually, I don't know, a decorative part of the boot, a piece of lace or felt, perhaps, from where she had been puppeting, or who knows, honestly. I mean, who is he to judge whether or not she has socks? I've been in that situation. I know you have, where you see someone that you think is wearing socks, and it's just not your place to say whether they're...
But, you know, when a woman lies about having socks, Margaret knew what she was doing with those socks.
Oh,
she knew
sure.
what she was getting into.
Oh, undoubtedly.
She was provoking.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I'm not... Margaret is obviously, along with being a full foot higher, as you said, than Victor, I would say that she is also a full foot higher in intellect as well. She clearly planned this out in advance. And I guess everything worked out the way that she wanted to. I guess that's just why I just want to reach out and be like, Margaret, don't regret it, you know? This is what you wanted, so.
Yeah, she's a complicated character.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Interestingly, too, she spells her name A-E. So I guess it's actually Margrate or something.
Margrate, because she's great. That's nice. But she's more complicated than that.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah, she's not just great.
No. She's great and has a lot of different colored socks.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's what makes her great.
Oh. Well, I mean, well, you can't see them because they're on top of that shelf up there. But I also own a lot of different colored socks.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not wearing them now. I am wearing my flesh-toned ones, but they just look like my feet. Yeah. I also have purple. I have black and brown argyle. I live on the edge when it comes to mixing those colors.
Yeah.
Standard black, standard gray, standard periwinkle, standard aquamaroon. I have one that's just an overlapping image of Jeff Goldblum's head over and over, all over, except on the left big toe. Where George Carlin is on that one.
Okay. Logical choice.
I think the rest are dirty, but
fair.
Those are the ones that are up there.
So. I saw some avocado socks the other day that...
Made of avocados?
No, that would have been amazing, but these had pictures of avocados, and I thought that was real exciting.
Were they peeled avocados or sliced?
They were sliced in half.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did it have the pit in it?
It did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. That makes it okay.
Good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I always like to think of an avocado as a miniature family. So, yeah.
That's a lovely thought.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly when I'm making guacamole and then I remove the pit, the heart of the family.
And then you mash it up and put it in with
onions
first, and garlic.
First I slice off the peel.
And
I make sure to get it really close so that it's just a smooth layer. And I get that off of there, which in family is really like just the cover layer. Some people would think of it as the skin. I like to think of it as really just the very shallowest layer of the family. And then, yes, I do proceed on to mashing up all of their togetherness.
Yeah, so. Best practice.
Yeah, it makes great guacamole. Yeah,
nice.
So. Well, I really enjoyed your story, and I think Noshi Noshi Gorilla would like it. I did send a little video of you writing it to Noshi Noshi Gorilla, and they said that they would get back to me once they had gotten a chance to read it. So hopefully we'll get that a little bit later. I'll let you know.
That's exciting. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sure, yeah. Well, I also wanted to tell you, I found out Noshi Gorilla's gender, and we should have known the whole time.
What is it?
It's not she.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Right.
Yeah. How could we have missed that?
I don't know.
That's our bad.
I mean, it even says it twice.
Yeah.
Which actually, under more analysis, I'm wondering if Noshi is more of like the fact that they repeat it is implying that it is actually true.
Oh.
Or perhaps, I'm not sure. I'll send them a video of this too.
Layers, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, anyway, what about another game?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
So we have this massive wheel in here, which is taking up, of course, a lot of the space.
It is taking up a disproportionate amount of the space in this closet.
Yeah, well, I would say that I have other places to put it, and I do. But I just like the way that it sits in here. It really looks good, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
No?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that was the only choice.
Yeah.
So, in the past, we have lots of different ways that people can spin the wheel, because I know people get tired of just spinning it. But there really aren't a lot of options in here, actually. You really only have either the starter button right there. You can put a little bit of gas in the engine over there and just yank the pull cord. That one's a little tough. I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
There's a little mouse that sometimes comes out of that little hole back there. Completely unrelated. I just wanted you to know.
Oh, I love mice. Okay.
Yeah. But inside of his home, he actually has a switch that does not turn on the lights in his mouse hole, but instead starts the wheel. I'm not sure if you can reach back in there, but any of those options is completely up to you.
Wow. I mean, I could offer him a job making miniature clocks if he wanted to turn on the lights.
He's pretty secure with what he's doing right now.
Yeah,
actually.
You sure?
Yeah. Well,
I can not pay him and make him work many hours.
No, he has a family. Yeah, so.
Okay, well, you know, I'll give you my contact information for him.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'll hand him a business card.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The wheel hard.
Yeah, let's do. I mean, I'd like to meet your mouse friend, so maybe let's do that.
Yeah. So this is somewhat embarrassing. We had a fight.
Ooh.
Earlier. So, well, yeah, it was rather annoying, actually. He knew that I installed the wheel in the closet, and I told him, I was like, hey, I know it's inconvenient, but one of your light switches is actually for spinning the wheel. And I asked him to please be careful about it. And just over and over again, he would come home, he would flip on the lights, and he would flip on the wheel as well. And I'd be sleeping.
Right.
And the wheel would just start a spinning.
Right.
And, of course, I thought that I needed to start playing a game.
Of course.
So I would start waking up and run and grab the recorder and everything.
Oh, man. That sounds kind of like a nightmare. Did you talk to him? Was he, like, reasonable about it?
I did. And I would say that he was not unreasonable, but... But the wheel's also been spinning on and off throughout the night.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. I noticed that. I didn't want to say anything. Yeah.
So I'm fine leaving the business card with him. And if he wasn't here, then I would say you could go ahead and flip the switch. But I think he did just get back from work. So
cool. Well, I'll do the gasoline option then.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So just yank the pull cord there behind you. Oh, and it seems like the wheel is spinning now. So,
nice. Okay.
Yeah. It takes just a couple of seconds here. Are there a lot of games? Is there anything that you're particularly looking forward to?
No. I kind of want to be surprised.
Well, I hope this is a surprise because it's landed on the listener mail. So,
yay!
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little unorthodox that since this is the first podcast here and no one has our address or really an updated email address to send stuff to us, it seems strange that we would have mail, but... I've got a lot of it right here, actually. But
that's
awesome. We're just going to read two of them. So, do you want to read the first one? Is that?
I would love to. That sounds
yeah,
great.
Yeah. So, if you would just read who it's from, where they're writing from, and then just tell us what they have to say.
Yeah. So this is from Happy Thrones in Dubuque.
Oh.
Yeah. And Happy Thrones writes, "Dear Cameron, thanks for sending me your new address at
Lamp
Street
Lamp
B in Austin. I have gone ahead and sent the
lamp
you ordered. Make sure not to
lamp
on it while holding a candle, as the
lamp
and
lamp
will certainly melt."
So, that was actually a personal letter that I'm going to have to censor quite a bit of that letter. I'm sorry you had to read that.
That's okay. I now know a lot of your personal information that I plan to exploit. Or not. I'm kidding. Oh, I'm totally kidding.
That quite what of yours.
That's great. That great archival sense of humor.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and read the next letter, actually. This seems to say, Dear radio people, keep it down. Some of us are trying to sleep. Yours truly, hybrid human creature neighbor. You know, this is really annoying. Like, you're not supposed to just put letters like this in people's mailboxes. And I know you can hear us right now, but we've got to record the podcast, all right? So get your sleep like normal people and go to bed around 11:30. I believe that's the average sleeping time for hybrid people. I'm not actually certain. I'm just making a guess. So.
It's a little passive aggressive of them, like, you know, making contact, telling us, like, what they would like and need. And
Yeah. Well, and it's also annoying because, you know, tampering with U.S. Post is a federal crime.
Absolutely.
And really is nothing to joke about. And, I mean, I suppose it's fine if he was just putting a letter into the mailbox, I have a feeling that they took something out as well, and I'm going to find out. So
yeah.
Well, Kate, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a treat. It's been a pleasure. I think it's just been those two things. I was gonna say a fun time, but
Let's call a spade here. Yeah. You know, I don't think either of us had any fun.
No. Just treats and
yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I haven't written or played games in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, I can tell you hadn't written in a while. No offense.
Yeah.
But,
no, it's okay. I understand.
But I really took you for a game player, actually.
Yeah?
Well, yeah. You know, you just kind of... You when you came in, you really looked like the person who had shaken a lot of Yahtzee barrels or...
You know, Cameron...
Do you call them barrels?
I do, and you're not the first person that has said that to me. You know, and in all actuality, I am much more of a Clue player. Yeah, I realize I'm always Colonel Mustard when I play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got dibs on the Colonel, so...
Really?
Yeah.
I'm more of a Scarlet myself, actually.
So. Nice, I can see that.
Yeah.
That works.
It's, Yeah, well, I mean, it's a long story. It's something that came up in my childhood where, I watched a woman murder several people, actually, while wearing a red dress.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really, like, one of those experiences you really want to hold on to.
Yeah, we've got pictures. It was at a family reunion, so, I mean, it was, we have it on tape and stuff. So, I mean, I get to look back on it often, so.
Yeah. Well, I know we're signing off, but if you have that footage, you know, let me know. There's a place in my archive.
Oh, sure,
with your name
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, we're really trying to actually keep it kind of secret. The statute of limitations isn't up on all of the murders, so.
Got it. Understood. Well, you know, the business card I gave you for your mouse also applies.
All right. Well,
okay. Great.
If I can fit it into his little mouse hole, then
yeah,
I'll give it to him.
Okay. Thanks so much.
If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to Noshi Noshi Gorilla for use of their story on this week's show. Special thanks to our special guest, Kate Cronin. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones. I'm your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.